Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Barrel aged for over 20 years and released in limited batches each fall, Pappy Van Winkle is the most sought-after Kentucky bourbon whiskey in the world. Fans vie for a bottle each year online, seeking lottery tickets that offer a chance to purchase a bottle, which are typically priced somewhere north of $3,000. Julian Van Winkle III, the third-generation head of the family business, has been swarmed in recent years wherever he goes, with people standing in lines for him to sign their bottles of Family Reserve, the whiskey he created to honor his grandfather, Pappy Van Winkle, founder of the Genteel Craft Bourbon. In the new book, Pappyland, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last, ESPN writer Wright Thompson shares the full story of Pappy Mania, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Wright Thompson to the Roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate you being here.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for your time.
So what got you on this trail? What got you interested in Pappy Van Winkle?
I mean, I think in the beginning, it was like everybody. I had heard a little bit about it. I mean, I was lucky enough to have had some of it, and it really is, I mean, separate from the mania, outstanding. And then I got to know Julian, who makes it. And I'd always just sort of, you know, Julian Van Winkle III sort of sounds like a boy king name. You know, like somebody who was born on third base and thought they hit a triple, you know. Yeah. And what I really found out was his grandfather started sort of what is known as the world's best distillery, but then his father lost it. And so Julian had to start over. And, you know, he borrowed so much money when bourbon, when no one wanted to buy bourbon in the 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s, he borrowed so much money to keep this thing alive because he felt like he owed it to his father and grandfather that, I mean, he's finishing paying off the loans this year. I mean, like 2021 will be the first year in the black. And so what I realized was this was a guy who was throwing everything down a deep, dark hole, not with the hope of the success that he enjoys now, but because he wanted to die an honorable death, you know? He wanted to go down with the ship, and he felt like what he owed his ancestors was that, to leave it all on the field, whatever sports cliche I'm going to use now, I'm sorry.
No, that's why they're all apt.
The ESPN thing. But, no, but, it, you know, I really felt like once I understood that, then I knew there was a story here that, you know, because what the book really is at its core is trying to understand the things we inherit from our family and trying to sort of manage and understand the things we want to pass on. And that's really the beating heart of the book, is that question of cosmic inheritance.
What you talk about, this rags to riches tale, as you just outlined, the fascinating part I found is in the book is Julian just barely getting together the money to buy what was remaining of the original Pappy Van Winkle bourbon so that he would have a chance of replicating those flavors and qualities of the original product.
Well, it's something of a magic trick. I mean, that there were, because no one wanted to buy bourbon. So his family ran the Stitzel Weller Distillery in Louisville that made what everyone considers even now to be the best bourbon that anyone has ever made. And they made a lot of it. And then in the late 60s, I mean, no one wanted to be like their dad, and people just stopped drinking bourbon. I mean, it's crazy when you start pulling up the market figures. And it wasn't until the late 2000s, around 2000, that it came back. And so there were all of these barrels of whiskey in warehouses all over Kentucky that Julian's family had made that were just sitting there. And it's pretty incredible to think about him going out and finding these things.
How much was that? I mean, that's something that is that has to drive your wife pretty much for a while to say, I want to do this. So what was, I mean, obviously there's the family history, but I would assume there also comes great challenge and opposition in trying to do that. Maybe not, you know, a physical opposition, but just the roadblocks that are put in front of you that you have to overcome to make that a reality.
Well, and I mean, a lot of it is, you know, as I talked about earlier, I mean, the goal, at some points, the goal didn't even seem like it was to make it. It was just to never quit. And that, like, that even if everything fails and you go broke and you, the family is out of the whiskey business, that you fought until the very end. And I mean, I think that that spirit certainly defines the man. And now, I mean, I feel like some of that is why there's such a mania for this stuff. I mean, you know, one of the coolest parts of being out here talking about this book is that over the next 7 days, I get to I'm giving away 9 bottles of this stuff. And I mean,
you're the most popular man alive.
No, dude, like for real, like whatever. I'm enjoying the self-esteem boost of having the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to my website, wrightthompson.com, and there's a huge link. I think it even just says free Pappy. I'm not messing around here. And you just click on it, and we're doing 3 raffles over the next 7 days. And at each raffle, we're giving away 3 bottles of this stuff. As a sports gambler, I told them it was very important that we cap them because I want to protect people's odds. So once the tickets are gone, they're gone. And they're going real fast. The bookstore in Oxford, Mississippi, that's handling it, just told me that I'm outselling John Grisham in Mississippi because folks are trying to buy these raffle tickets. So get them now. But it's so cool to be able to take this unattainable thing and help people obtain it.
Okay, so let's talk about what it is. What is so special about it? Having not had the pleasure of trying it for all the reasons that most of our listeners probably have not tried it, the great expense of it, what is there about it that is so special? We do know that all of these things take a lot of time. So give us a sense, with that in mind, give us a sense of what is so special about Pappy Van Winkle.
It is, one, like you said, it is very finely crafted, and there, it is very hard to age bourbon. You put 53 gallons of whiskey in a barrel, and then 20 years later, you take the barrel out, and if you're lucky, it has 6 gallons left.
Yeah.
And so the number of people in the world who know how to age bourbon, that number is very small. And so they're just not that many people who know how to do it. And I mean, so it's a start there, is that it is technically great. And then look, we all know the more someone tells you can't have something, the more you want it.
Yeah. And what is it, and the more, but that is a success that other people could replicate. The product itself has to be damn good.
Well, that's it. And that, it comes back to that. Like, the myth is real.
So when you look at the creation and the continued creation of the product, is it something, it seems, in my understanding of distilling and what I know mostly about distilling is in Irish whiskey, but What I know and understand from that is that, you know, a lot can still go wrong at any given time.
Well, it can go wrong. I mean, I was with Julia not that long ago when he got the news that a bunch of barrels of 20 and 23 year old for this year's release were empty. You get a little crack in a barrel that you can't see, and that's it. All that money is just gone. So it's an incredibly fragile process. And a lot of people don't realize that.
You make the point that this is very much a Southern story, that Southern heritage and culture are very much a part of this story.
For sure.
How so?
Well, It's heavily rooted in a sense of place. I mean, so like I'm from Mississippi and Julian's from Kentucky. So for 4 years, I drive back and forth between Mississippi and Kentucky. And bourbon really is an agricultural crop. It was brought to Kentucky by farmers in Pennsylvania who brought it to Pennsylvania from farms in New York State. And so, like, the reason it's so interesting to me that, like, one of the dominant grains in a lot of bourbons is rye, even though they don't grow any rye in the state of Kentucky. And that is a holdover from farmers in 1780 who left Pennsylvania to move to Kentucky at the time when it was the farthest west frontier of America. And so the product itself is rooted in the American agrarian past. And one of the things that makes Van Winkle to me so special is that its secondary grain is wheat as opposed to rye. And if you drive through Kentucky, man, they're waving fields of wheat everywhere. And it feels very much like a bourbon of its place. And when you're in Kentucky, you realize that it is less of an industrial product and more of a sort of a rural ag economy crop.
It is such a colorful history. And one of the things that I really didn't realize that, I mean, you mentioned this earlier, but that I didn't realize is that the hoopla, the pappy mania, as you call it, is really relatively new, right? I mean, the story of the whiskey itself of the bourbon is old, but of the mania is a relatively new thing.
Oh, it is very new, and that's what makes it interesting. So you think about, I mean, until say 2012, you could go in a liquor store and get a bottle of this stuff, and that means the stuff sits in barrels for as long as 23 years. So it's really hard. You can't do supply and demand like most businesses. One of the things that I found really interesting being around people who make whiskey is that by necessity, they live 15, 20, 23 years in the future. And the rest of us live this really fast-paced, like technology-obsessed and governed life. And so, you know, one of the things I hope the readers find in this is they sense my own longing and desire to live like Julian, to always be playing the long game, to always have your mind 20 years out in the future. And I found that really seductive, and I found that I wanted some of that. And so one of the things the book explores is can we have that? I mean, do you have to be one of the handful of people in America whose life is making aged bourbon whiskey to be able to be that present and calm and unaffected by time?
And the answer probably is no, but it doesn't hurt, right?
That's what I was saying. I mean, it's something to aspire to. I mean, look, I mean, I keep joking, threatening one day I'm going to get rid of all my technology, but we all know that that's a lie.
Right.
And but it was very nice to ride shotgun with people who actually live like that.
What do you get when you go to the distillery, when you're walking around with Julian? What do you get from that experience? I mean, it seems in reading the book and in hearing you describe it that it is mystical and magical, but give us a sense of what it's like.
I mean, on one level, it's just like being in Memphis with Elvis, you know? I mean, the way people respond to him. But, I mean, it is always comforting to be around someone who feels at home both in their physical location and in their skin. And Julian at a distillery is someone in communion with their element.
Yeah.
And I know that that sounds, you know, weird, but it's absolutely true. And I always find it calming to be there with him. In a really real way. I mean, so much of this is, you know, I started this project right before my 40th birthday. And so a lot of this is contemplating, you know, my own past and future and the kind of person I want to be and the kind of husband and father and man I want to be and the kind of citizen I want to be. And so a lot of those ideas are things that I talked about and thought about with Julian. And so the book is this strange combination of a history of this whiskey with these larger contemplations that I think are very universal, that I think mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, and I mean, I think everybody hopefully will see some of themselves in that and maybe get to ask themselves the same questions that I was asking. I mean, I hope that, look, that's a lot to want from 280 pages, but that's what I'm after.
Well, the name of the book is Pappyland, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last. Wright Thompson is the author. You can find out more by going to WrightThompson.com. Wright, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
No, I love to be on the program. Thank you much. Thank you so much for your time and your interest.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more at WrightThompson.com. The name of the book, Pappyland. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.